Continuing Helen Wright's book, Humanity's Divinity.
Chapter 3. At One-ment, Finding Ourselves One with God. Learning Our True Identity. Material sense disappears as the truth is learned. We learn the science of our being in the same way we learn the science of mathematics. As the principle of mathematics includes all calculations and withholds nothing from us, so it is with love, the divine principle of our being. It also withholds nothing from us. Nothing is more certain than that the time is coming when all shall recognize and obey their divine principle as the only governor. But we can never live our at-one-ment until we cease looking upon God as other than ever-active principle to be utilized in every walk of life. We must realize God is not a separate being, but is the omnipresent power of good. We must learn to work out our own salvation. While a principle is always available to us, it can't come and work out a problem for us. We must come into oneness with the principle of our being, step by step, just as we come into oneness with the principle of mathematics. Through study and practice, we gradually learn to drop the mortal seeming until reality breaks through to us. Then our prayer becomes like that of Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, quote, deep and conscientious protests of truth. In metaphysics, as in mathematics, we cannot begin the discovery of our true identity by believing a mistake. The basic error, Mrs. Eddy tells us, is the Adam dream, the belief of mortal birth which causes the body to appear as matter. This is the veil that hides our true identity. We must remember we are not human beings, but, quote, to be immortal, we must forsake the mortal sense of things, turn from the lie of false belief to truth, and gather the facts of being from the divine mind. The I, or ego, of you and me, and all, is mind and not body. Only because the delusion that we live in a matter body seems so real do we think we are separated from God, infinite good. We should know better. We should realize our oneness with God. But all down through history's slippery slope, we have, through ignorance, clung to the cruel belief that God is a being separate from man, instead of realizing our oneness with infinite good. We are soul, life, truth, and love. On page 294 of Prayer and Atonement in the first edition, Mrs. Eddy tells us that if we regard omnipotence as a person whose ear we would gain, we are not soul, life, love, and truth, and therefore not in the harmony of being and oneness with the Father, mind, in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Quote, here she instructs us our real being is soul, life, truth, and love. Unquote. She had already informed us in the first edition that we are principle, and numerous times that we are spirit and soul, telling us that we shall be life, truth, and love when we understand them. These are synonyms for God. When we actually reach this understanding, practically, might not looking back on today's world seem like the age of the dinosaurs? Since our mind is God, something greater than the human personality is keeping and guiding us in our search to gain the spiritual life. Thus, when there seems to be no answer to our problems and difficulties, we still know we cannot abandon this spiritual search. Where would I go? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We know God, infinite good, has to be omnipresent, since it is our real mind. Therefore, we find that in reality, we are right back in the kingdom of heaven. And to acknowledge the presence of infinite good right where we are, be it heaven or hell, sickness or health, is a form of prayer. Prayer is knowing that beneath thy feet life's pearl is cast, and the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We are walking in the promised land. True prayer is the acknowledgement that infinite good is omniscient. And since infinite good is the all-knowing, the little I doesn't have to know anything. From the beginning of time, we've been hypnotized to think we are the little I, when all the while we are the I that is mind, that is omniscient, possessing sovereign power to think and act rightly. Breaking through this hypnotism calls for the listening attitude of prayer. We must look to the all-hearing and all-knowing intelligence, to whom every want of man is understood and by whom it will be supplied. Our true heritage. Through Mrs. Eddy's teaching of this great truth, we are learning that our true heritage is to recognize infinite good is our true consciousness, here and now. When the mist shall melt away, you will see clearly the glory of peace and the heaven of love within your own heart. And because the self of man is God, we have the dominion. Reasoning from principle, we find we already are and always have been healed and are joyously triumphant. When problems come, we have the power, through right thought and ideas, to meet and destroy the claims of evil, since evil is just a mistake. The nothingness of evil becomes apparent once we have consciously overcome it, but it can't be clear if we just overlook it. We must proceed with courage, knowing, since God is our mind, we have dominion over all contingencies. Why don't we demonstrate our infinite capacity more? Why do we judge by appearances and fail to recognize error? Because we are deceived by the five physical senses with which hypnotism, quote, pains, fetters, and befools us. The material senses have been liars from the beginning, but they are only like a bad dream. No matter how scary the dream is, when we wake up, we know it wasn't real, don't we? It will be the same when we, through the teachings of the second coming of the Christ, have learned what we really are as one with God. In reality, we are the consciousness that is God. When, through spiritual education, we find our body is just ideas, what can touch us? As mind individualized, we create the world we walk through, and infinite good is found to be the source and condition of all we experience or are aware of. Are we man? Certainly not, says Mary Baker Eddy. We are spirit, soul, and not body, Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition of Science and Health. Over and over she makes it clear man is idea, our mind's idea. Quote, all that is good is spirit, infinite good, and the idea of infinite good is real, and nothing else is real, unquote. To really understand this is not easy. Then what am I, and what is man? We ask again. In The Science of Man, when the question was asked, are we man, Mrs. Eddy answers emphatically, certainly not. You are spirit, soul, principle, unquote. She had seen that the mental element is God. She could think. Only consciousness can think. An idea can't think. The reflection in the mirror can't think. All consciousness is mind, God, Mrs. Eddy declares. What have you ever known that did not require and involve your thinking? All that is ever needed to find heaven at hand is a change of thinking. When our thinking is right, our experience will be right. Our whole objective universe is a creation of our thinking, and it will be as good as our thinking is good. Great Truths from the First Edition. The great truth that you and God, infinite good, are one, was openly set forth in the first edition, but because of the, quote, fixedness of mortal illusion and the human hatred of truth, Mrs. Eddy gradually, in later editions, hid this trenchant truth. Some of my most spiritually minded readers still seem concerned regarding Mrs. Eddy's statement to her early classes. Quote, "You, my students, are God," unquote. To make her teaching on this point clear, I will quote a few statements found in her first edition of Science and Health. "These are the scientific facts before which we should stand in awe. But, of course, they are only attainable through growth in Christian character, as her many references to grow and growth teach us." Quote, "The belief that God has a separate being leads to multitudinous errors. Man is the phenomenon of soul. The final understanding that we are spirit must come. At present we know not what we are, but hereafter, through study and growth, we shall be found love, life, and truth, because we understand them." Jesus, who demonstrated this over 18 centuries ago, said, "The works that I do, ye shall do." You, the soul, a synonym for God, and circumference of being, for the body is but the idea of you, you are a law to your members, and the lawgiver that makes your body discordant or harmonious. All formations are shadows of being, and we their soul and substance. Soul, your true identity, exists not without man and the universe, for it is never separated from the complex and reflex shadow of itself. Science reveals to spiritual understanding the body without sensation, and man the reflex shadow of soul. And soul, embracing all the faculties of being, having no lack of emotion, speech, sight, or sound. To be out of an imaginary existence in matter and realize oneself, not body, but soul, God, is the ultimatum of being. All should recognize themselves soul, a synonym for God. When realizing life as it is, namely soul, we shall expand into truth and self-completeness that embraces all things and need communion with nothing more than itself to find them all. Joint heirs with God are the partakers of an inheritance where there is no division of estate. We are spirit. This is not losing man nor robbing God, but finding yourself more blessed as principle than person, as God than man, as soul than sense. There are many more such statements setting forth the great revelation that came to her in 1866, namely, that you are spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, reflecting itself as man. What am I? Man, your mind's expression, is image. Quote, "The compound idea named man is unintelligent. It is a lifeless image and reflection of principle or soul." That's from the first edition. "Of itself, an image has no power. What can your image in the mirror do?" You can think, can't you? Can your image in the mirror think? Can it be conscious? Can your image in the mirror plan something? Can it reason? Can it say, "All power is given unto me"? Does it have intelligence? Jesus never thought of himself as different from those around him. Then note what he did. Could an image do that? Neither Jesus nor Mary Baker Eddy taught that we are an image. When Jesus weighed in with his important statement, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," he was saying that all right mentality is the Father or primal cause. "I and my Father are one" means that your right mentality and the Father mind are one in quality. It doesn't mean they are the same in quantity. Quote, "All are but parts of one stupendous whole, but the whole is in every part, as we learn from holography." That's from Miscellany. He saw that his mind and God were one intelligence. Father and Son means cause and effect, or principle and idea is one, at one-ment. We must see that it is not man conscious of God. Man doesn't include God. Rather, it is mind, God, our mind, conscious of itself, of its ideas.
What have we ever known that did not require consciousness, mind, thinking? Each individual consciousness, being mind, God, is the consciousness of God and man, principle and idea. Isn't it always God, our right mind, that does the unfolding, the knowing, the thinking? This is the spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. Everything is a creation of our thinking and will be as good as our thinking is good. Therefore, hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. In the first edition, Mrs. Eddy tells us explicitly, emphatically, that we are principle. She repeats that we are spirit, we are soul, and that while at present we know not fully what we are, yet it is certain that we shall be love, life, and truth when we understand them. Then all the barriers that error huffs and puffs about will have passed away. If we want to understand love, life, and truth, we must dig a little deeper into Mrs. Eddy's teachings. We don't progress in math by devoting thought only to the part we like. Neither do we progress in science by clinging only to what is easiest for us. Our mind, our consciousness, our life is God. Mary Baker Eddy writes, "All consciousness is mind, and mind is God, an infinite and not a finite consciousness. This consciousness is reflected in individual consciousness or man, whose source is infinite mind." That's from Unity and Good. She's talking about our mind, the mind we now have when it is free of hypnotic suggestions. Even humanly, can you think about your mind? No, you think as it. And Mrs. Eddy's discovery is based on the fact that we think or know as mind itself. Mind, capital M mind, your mind, is the source, she says. It is its own cause and effect. This must be so, since the Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things. The grandeur and vastness of her discovery that all consciousness is mind and mind is God is that she saw our actual mind here and now as the mind, or capital I, that is God. This reveals our present capacity to discern and experience generic man, meaning all that reflects God, infinite good. From our textbook we learn principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. If God is all and in all, then what are we? Remember, God wrote the textbook, said Mrs. Eddy. I only held the pen. And God's scribe under orders tells us three times that God is the only life. This life is mind, the Creator reflected in His creations. You and I know we express life. If God is the only life, then the life we now have has to be God, doesn't it? And that life which is mind, in all its radiance, has no age. It is coursing through us endlessly, faultlessly, agelessly. Like the 6-year-old boy who was asked, "How old are you?" We can all get rid of this albatross by answering as he did, "I don't have any old." We only need to awaken out of the deep sleep, mesmerism of the Adam dream, to see that actually we live in eternity now, even though error would have us believe in a past, present, and future. But there is only the one life, infinite good. Can we see the infinite power in Mrs. Eddy's statement, "God is my life"? You, the expression of life triumphant, are sound and whole, full of the vigor of life. No longer will there be three ages, youth, middle age, and you're looking good. Real living is determined by the degree of our loving. Man lives to express good. The quality of our thought determines the quality of our life. The real mind we now have is the one mind, with no connection to the bogus tyranny of death-dealing mortal mind, alias hypnotism, that would lash and pillory us with fear
and disease. The soul identity we now have is the one soul, the one identity that assures us we are the temple of the living God, a fact we are all destined to learn as we overcome the material sense of things. Our leader exultantly reminds us, God is the sum total of the universe. Then what and where are sin, sickness, and death? There is no material man. Consider carefully, God is mind, God is spirit, God is not matter. If God is the sum total of the universe, what and where is man? In reality, there is no material man. The truth of what we call man is spiritual qualities that express infinite good, qualities that express mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. This is what Jesus proved on the Mount of Transfiguration and in the Ascension. Spirit is not materially tangible, but the individuality of man is no less tangible because it is spiritual and because his life is not at the mercy of matter. The true thoughts that make up our spiritual body are perfectly real and tangible to spiritual consciousness. In the final edition, Mrs. Eddy refers to man as the offspring of God, as the idea of spirit, and tells us man is the expression of God's being, of your being, that which has no separate mind from God, that which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. Ideas, the great moving force. To say that man is the idea of spirit, with no separate mind from God, is not to belittle man. Ideas are the great moving force of history. Quote, man is idea, the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. Ideas are emanations of the divine mind, your mind. While ideas can't think or reason, they are tangible and real to immortal consciousness. What a power and transformation will be ours when we understand this. Ideas, thoughts, have no boundaries, no limits. In their transcendent, dimensionless realm dwells all you will ever need for joy, happiness, spiritual being. Ideas are the moving force of the world, and man, we are told, is the idea, the image of love. What is called man is the reflection of your real mind, capital M, your real mind's expression. There is nothing greater or more powerful than the power of thought, the word made flesh, made practical. Man is not a point in space or a limited thing. He is the intelligence, the knowing of mind, mind's knowing. The knowing with the mind you now already in reality have. Therefore, man lives through all space, just as 2 times 2 equals 4 exists through all space. Your perfection is omnipresent, and the personal sense of yourself is just hypnotism. There is no more connection between your real self, which is always at hand, and the personal sense of yourself than there is between 2 times 2 equals 4 and 2 times 2 equals 5. We are each individual creative intelligence, letting the light of truth, our Christ understanding, dissipate the false personal sense. The only real I is God. The entire being is found in mind. Every time you use I, capital I, correctly, it means God. Man is the evidence of the principle which Mrs. Eddy in the first edition tells us plainly, you are, saying, Jesus regarded himself principle. She urges us to do the same, saying, we would find ourselves more blessed as principle than as person. How can it be otherwise when the kingdom of God is within you,
And your I is defined as divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. Isn't this what Jesus meant with his parables? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, in your consciousness. Like leaven which a woman took and hid in science, theology, and medicine. Like a mustard seed which grows to infinite knowing. Like a pearl of great price when we discover our true consciousness is love, God. The parables all tell us that as we awaken from the Adam dream, our vision expands, and we discover ourselves, our at-one-ment with God, is impelled by love. Man originates in God, in mind, your mind. And it is God, your mind, that expresses in man, note, in man, not for him, but in him, the infinite idea forever developing itself, broadening and rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. That's from Science and Health. Note that it is God, God the mind of man, that does the expressing. Expression, manifestation, reflection bring out the ideas of mind and constitute the body of God. It is always God, mind, your mind, that does the reflecting. What I, as spirit and soul, am conscious of is called man. Mrs. Eddy explained that when one stands in front of a mirror, one's image and likeness in the mirror isn't something that has to grow up to the original that is standing in front of the mirror. It is spontaneously the full reflection of the original. The real you is all that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are. All that infinite good is, expressed individually, since thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The glorious truth, we are spiritual and perfect here and now. The glorious truth is that we don't have to become spiritual and perfect. We only have to accept the fact that we are so here and now. How could we let truth uncover and destroy error, as we read in Science and Health, if this truth wasn't our own mind, our own right thinking? How could pain be ruled out by the might of mind if this mind wasn't our mind here and now? How could we rise in the strength of spirit if we weren't spirit? How could we rise to the true consciousness of life as love if we were not already this life that is love? Through spiritual education, we can and ultimately shall so rise as to avail ourselves in every direction of the supremacy of truth over error. As we end this chapter and launch into the next, let us remind ourselves of Jesus' glorious instruction, remembering through the magnitude of his human life, he demonstrated the divine life. In John, we read of the Samaritan woman at the well. She had accepted the prophetic scripture and said to Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Again, John, to the man born blind, Jesus said, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus was divinely human. When Peter saw the coincidence of the human and divine, Jesus was happy and quickly answered, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Chapter 4. We must face the task before us. The power is in our hands. In Mrs. Eddy's sermon, Christian Healing, she with divine authority states emphatically, God is all and in all. That finishes the question of a good and bad side to existence. Then she makes it clear that we are the arbiter of our own fate. We are the attorney for the case. We are the judge. Quote, if you wish to be happy, argue with yourself on the side of happiness. Take the side you wish to carry, and be careful not to talk on both sides, or to argue stronger for sorrow than for joy. You are the attorney for the case, and you will win or lose according to your plea. The Bible admonishes us to watch our thoughts, lest they become words, and lest, as science teaches, they become matter in belief. We should notice that matter has I am nothing stamped on its hindquarters. We are each a sentinel, charged with keeping watch over our thoughts, challenging, arresting, and destroying at once every enemy thought, and replacing the material sense of things with the facts of being. Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, we read in Pulpit and Press. We can always replace negative with positive thoughts. If we understood the awesome power of our thoughts, we would be better sentinels, carefully guarding our words, remembering that often silence is golden. The power and the responsibility is in our hands. If there was something called God that was going to work out our salvation, Jesus' example and Mrs. Eddy's life work on our behalf would not have been necessary. They, as God's two witnesses, came only to show us how to do our work, not to do it for us. Christian Science teaches that we must look neither ahead, behind, right or left, up or down, for salvation. Knowing we are one with God would give us access to power beyond comprehension to work out our salvation, which lies in learning the truth regarding our present divinity. Christian Science comes forth from God to resurrect man from organic life and lift him back into oneness with God, which he never left in reality. Salvation must be sought within, for it is consciousness rather than circumstances that must be changed. Prayer and atonement, as Mary Baker Eddy shows us, is the process by which we do this. The cross. You are your own physician. There is a cross to be taken up. If we are not secretly yearning and openly striving for the accomplishment of all we ask, our prayers are vain repetitions. That's from Science and Health. We must win our way to heaven, making our one ambition a holy desire to know God in order to know what we are. In our struggle for victory over the beast, we must patiently persist, even when on the ropes. We cannot command success, we can only deserve it. In this quest, industry is a better horse to ride than genius, and Mrs. Eddy counseled work, 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 watch, and pray. As we continue to declare the truth concerning everything error is lying about, knowing that the declaration of truth breaks the claim, we make progress spiritward. Intelligence not at the mercy of flesh. Mrs. Eddy urged us, discard all your sense of selfhood, all that is involved in the belief of birth, heredity, association, time, decay, death. Take time each day to know nothing can govern your actions or come to your thought that is not from the divine mind. Intelligence is always the divine mind in evidence and is never at the mercy of flesh. Replace the material sense of things with the facts of being. So when error beckons us to follow in lockstep with it, we should head for the exit, determined to think holy thoughts and heavenly strain that make men one in love remain, and so bring these into our experience. Casting out error through our God being. Belief in disease is ignorance of reality. It is hypnotism. Once seeing what Mary Baker Eddy discovered about us, we will enter our God being. Our real mind knows no more about disease, sorrow, or pain than the principle of math knows about all the mistakes made in mathematics. As our thought is filled with divine science, we are able to nullify medical beliefs in the only place they can be nullified, that is, at the point of our belief in them. The greatest job on earth. We are engaged in the greatest job on earth, namely, to become aware of our true selfhood, our godhood. To accomplish this, one, we must love and cherish the idea mind gives us. All ideas are within our own right mind. Reviewing Mrs. Eddy's definition of God, we learn that mind, the all-knowing, is characterized by wisdom, revelation, control, basis, origin, power, cause. Two, spirit shows us how to keep pure what mind is, to see its glory unclouded by error. It shows us reality, true substance. Spirit is living the word we have studied. Three, soul enables us to abide in it, be sincere, and persevere in it. Soul, Mrs. Eddy tells us, is spiritual understanding, our true identity. Four, in principle, we see the oneness and impersonality of mind, spirit, and soul, which constitute our principle. Honesty, consistency, harmony, and spiritual power characterize God as principle. Five, as the result of seeing we are mind, spirit, soul, principle, our divinity becomes a living attitude. Six, it then becomes truth to us. It becomes our consciousness. Seven, we experience the fulfillment of love. Heaven, Mrs. Eddy once explained, is finding the answer to a problem. It is a state of consciousness that can be experienced here and now in proportion to our grasp of reality. These seven steps constitute prayer in action. Practicing them, our God being, all things become possible to us. The primal slavery.